Yvette Brown from Awkwardness and Grace. I'm a white mom raising two black boys, and if you feel squeamish talking about race, you're not alone. Join me, parents, and professionals as we have conversations about race and the awkwardness and grace of it all. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Awkwardness and Grace. This is a little off subject, but last night was one of those sleepless nights when my brain didn't want to turn off. While I'm listening to my kids' husband and dog sleep, this image of one of those pie charts where the sections are divided into areas of your life, like family, self-care, money, career, etc., was circling in my head. Then it struck me that parenting is 100% of the pie. So where do I put everything else? Well, my conclusion is that the pie is multi-layered. And one part of the pie is for parenting, and the next layer is for everything else. But when I think about it, I think that layer could actually be split again. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. So even at 3 a.m., I am still thinking about parenting. Can you believe it? Okay, so let's get started. Today, I'm focusing on talking to kids from the ages of 6 to around 11 years old about race. As a white mom, I have struggled with talking to my kids about racism. No parent, whether white, black, or non-black person of color, wants to rob their kids of their innocence by talking about such an ugly subject. When I was growing up, race was not a conversation we had in our home. So when I had to talk to my kids about racism, I was overwhelmed and didn't have the tools to even start. I took a deep breath, quivered in my shoes, and faced my fears. One of my first tools was to educate myself. It helped build my confidence and empowered me to go forward, and I am still learning. It is an ongoing process. So congratulate yourself. You're listening and taking steps to help yourself and your children to navigate racism. If you haven't heard my previous podcast on how to talk to kids 5 years and under, then I encourage you to do so. I will go over some of the same concepts, but more in depth for kids 6 to 10 years old. When children are 5 and under, the emphasis is on cultivating empathy and fairness. At 6 years old, the topics of race, fairness, and empathy become more complex. Bringing in African American, Native American, or other people of color in a historical context resonates with these eager young learners. As a parent, it will serve you well to educate yourself about racism, anti-racism, and African American history, or some would say the real history of America, so you have a better understanding of systems that are in place in our society that support racism, especially the racism you can't really see, like systemic racism. When you educate yourself about race, you have the material to talk to your child and you'll feel more confident when talking with them. It will also help you on your journey of being socially just. Don't feel you need all the answers. But if you have a foundation of terms and knowledge, then you have the tools you need to have a responsible, meaningful conversation with your kids. When talking with your kids, use the appropriate terminology. Let's say your six-year-old wants to know, what is racism? Especially if they hear you say it. Here is a simplified definition. And believe me, there are so many definitions. Racism is a powerful system that creates oppression, disadvantage, discrimination, or antagonism directed against a person or people on the basis of a particular race or ethnic group, typically one that is a minority or marginalized. What is a racist? It is a person who shows or feels discrimination or antagonism against people of other races or who believes that a particular race is superior to another. What is an anti-racist? A person who opposes racism, promotes racial tolerance, and supports anti-racist policies. And I'd like to take it one step further and say racial acceptance. I have been told the term anti-racism seems harsh. There is a deeply insightful book called How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram Kendi. His philosophy is basically you are either a racist or anti-racist. And the statement, I'm not a racist, is too gray. If you're uncertain about this, take a look at the YouTube video of Amy Cooper. When confronted by the media, she says, I'm not a racist. In her mind, she is not a racist. She's a progressive white woman. Yet, she used her white privilege as a weapon to call the police and put an innocent bird-watching black man in severe danger. If the black man did not film her, the police could have assumed he was threatening her and either arrested him or worse. The black man would have been presumed guilty before innocent. This is a whole other podcast subject. An anti-racist would not have called the police unless she or he was in imminent danger, which Amy Cooper was not. As a parent, your child is watching you. Your actions will be a strong message to your kids as you learn to understand the dynamics of racism. Take some time and ask yourself, how do you react when you are around black people or people of color? If you are not around people of color, then bring people of color into your life and your child's life. Diversity allows you and people of color to reduce that discomfort of difference. Diversity is a natural icebreaker, and it warms your soul when you shed that discomfort and get down to being human together. It shows your child that everyone is unique, and these differences are worthy of embracing and celebrating. Diversity is important, but your personal soul searching and education about white privilege, implicit bias, and equity is key. The history of racism in America is so embedded that this can take sincere and honest work to find a place where you're strong as a white ally and able to actively let people of color take the floor as equal members of society. Let's talk about our kiddos making comments in front of people of color. I've given myself general guidelines when these comments surface. Stay calm, even if you're flustered. Take a breath. If you're outwardly shocked and tell your child to be quiet, they will not understand and they will think it is a taboo subject and shy away from future conversations. Children at this age are honing their social skills and may not have the words to communicate what they're thinking, seeing, or experiencing. Giving them the words for emotions, social protocol, and letting them see you gracefully or even ungracefully handle the situation is invaluable to the foundation of race conversations with your child. You want them to be able to openly express themselves and feel comfortable coming to you when they have questions. I also acknowledge the person they're talking about. This lets the person know that you're aware of the comment and you're trying to help your child understand and that you respect the person as a fellow human being. It also shows your child that you respect this person and the person is worthy of being treated respectfully. Sometimes you are left speechless. We're all learning as we go and you may not have the best answer at the moment. Again, acknowledge the person, tell your child that you need to think about the response or need to have this conversation in private. Let your child know that telling someone they look like poop, asking a person if their hair is a wig, or commenting about how a child doesn't look like the parent can be hurtful. Me and my children have experienced these comments many times. We know kids are curious, but I can see why people of color get tired of hearing these comments. Responses and answers to uncomfortable questions should be age appropriate. Kids are filled with ideas that culminate from experience. Draw out the thoughts of your child by asking them leading questions like, What did you think when that white girl was saying black people are stupid? What do you know about a certain subject? Why do you ask that question? Kids love to share their opinion. You may open a can of worms by asking for their opinion, but it's delightful. And it allows you to discover what they're thinking. If you find they have an opinion that may be racist, you can guide them into seeing another perspective and have a meaningful dialogue. Your child may ask, "What race are we?" You can respond with a hard fact by saying, "We are the human race. According to the Human Genome Project in the 90s, we are 99.9% the same." The term race is socially constructed, which can help define differences, but it has been misconstrued to divide and harm, especially in the example of racism. Introduce them to the word melanin. Melanin is what gives people varying shades of color in their skin, hair, and eyes, depending on the age, leading to a conversation on how people's looks have evolved over different parts of the world. For example, northern dwellers tend to be pale with less melanin because they're not exposed to the sun. People from more northern or hotter regions tend to be darker and have more melanin in their skin to protect them from the sun. This is a simplified answer for a six-year-old, but as they get older, they can hear answers that are more complex. If you wish to go deeper, you can include how white people came to America. Indigenous people or Native Americans are the original people of this country, and white people came from Europe. In about third or fourth grade, children learn about when the Europeans colonized America. The Europeans oppressed and conquered the indigenous people, hence dominating America. If you feel knowledgeable about this, explore some of the adverse effects on Native Americans due to colonization. Also discuss the benefits to the white colonials. When I was growing up, I heard a very whitewashed story. I thought it was beneficial for the Native Americans when white people arrived, which I now know is wrong. The colonization of America allowed white people to feel superior to Native Americans. It is unfair, but some white people still mistreat people of color because they think they are better. Tell your children that you do not accept this and feel that this is an act of racism. Emphasize unfairness of people being treated differently because of their appearance, culture, or religion. Relate the unfairness to how your child doesn't like being treated unfairly. Bring in a friend of color as an example. You can ask your child, "How would you feel if your friend was being treated unfairly because of the color of their skin?" Children have amazing connections to their small world, and having their friends hurt makes them hurt and brings out their inner superhero. This can be a great way to bring up treating people equitably. As white people, we are taught to treat everyone equally, but the reality is that not everyone is treated equally. A more just way of creating equality is to have equity for everyone. An example of equity is having wheelchair access or having a basketball hoop that is the right height for kids. Equitable policies and actions make it fair for everyone. The government has made laws that create equal or even equitable policies for black people and people of color, but let's face it, if a black man walks through a white neighborhood, he will be viewed with suspicion and probably have the police called on him. So as a white person, we need to examine our racist thoughts and question them. When we question our thoughts, we can stop, breathe, assess, and objectively analyze the reality of a situation. When your child sees you taking a moment to assess a situation, it shows your child the importance of a thoughtful reaction instead of assumptions based on racism. What do you do when your child hears someone use a racist comment, or your child says a racist comment to a black child or person of color? When my child was six, his schoolmate said, "African Americans brush their teeth with poop. That is why they are brown." My son said, "No, they don't." The boy then said, "Okay, then Native Americans do." And they both continued to play. There is a couple of things worth mentioning here. One is that kids and potty talk are common. They also don't know the seriousness of what they're saying. My son was not bothered by these comments. If the white child said it to a much older black child, he probably would have been in big trouble. We are also not educating our children about racism, so they don't know it is racist. Let me just say that my kids go to really progressive liberal schools where social justice is actively taught. I know the mom of the child who said this. She would be mortified if she knew he made this comment. Unfortunately, I didn't hear about this until months later. It is interesting that my child remembered it and delayed bringing it up. My son didn't realize it was racist, and we had an in-depth conversation about it. I felt it was too late to approach the mom, and I let it go. But if I were to talk to the mother, I would let her know what transpired. I would ask her if her child was aware that was a racist comment, and does he know what racism is? Has she spoken to her child about racism? With white parents, sometimes they can get defensive when confronted with race situations. I would approach it from a non-threatening perspective. I would give her a few moments to let it sink in and ask if we could have a discussion with our kids together. When you have both of the kids together, they can see and feel the physical and emotional impacts of what occurred. This does not need to be a shaming moment. It can be a moment of learning, apology, and mutual respect for our fellow human beings. By speaking with my son, he had the opportunity to be aware that the comments were racist, even if it felt like a joke and play. The white child should also have this opportunity. He can be told the definition of racism and why it is hurtful to people of color. If he is informed now, then in the future, he will be more likely to think first and less likely to say something racist. If your child calls someone the N-word, and yes, I was shocked the first time my son was called a nigger by one of his white friends. My son was 9 and his friend was 8. We're friends with this family. My son was extremely angry that his friend said this to him. My son is very knowledgeable and proud of his heritage. I didn't hear it happen, but we were all at a kid's birthday party and the boys were playing hard, and it escalated into name-calling. His 8-year-old friend called my son the N-word. I was called over by one of his other friends, and the 8-year-old boy's mom came too. I tried to stay calm and was pretty flummoxed as what to say. So I took a deep breath and asked each boy what happened. Then I asked the 8-year-old boy if he knew what that word was. He wasn't sure, but he knew it was bad. His mom was shocked and didn't know what to say. Unfortunately, I wasn't prepared for this and couldn't imagine my super kind liberal friends would have a child that would say such a thing. I tried to keep the peace and yet let the kid know that it is a horrific insult. We did a restorative agreement and made the kids aware of the impact on each other. This 8-year-old heard kids saying the N-word on the video games he was playing. The mom was full of apologies. Because I am not a confrontational person and I was not as prepared, I was hesitant to talk to my white friend about racism. I did not talk to her as deeply as I should have. If it happened now, I would talk more with the child and mom about how incredibly insulting that word is, emphasize that it is racist and by saying it means you hate black people, and how it can put this white child in danger if he said it to the wrong person. This is an example of my personal growth. I am not one to rock the boat, yet because I have educated myself, I feel I have built muscle to be passionate about being righteous. Your child may ask, why are so many black people homeless? This is a tough question. Keep the language simplified. What is important here is that there is a structure that is built into our society. Children may not fully understand that structure, but if you lay it out as a structure, it allows your child to see that there are consequences from actions made. I think of that children's book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, because if you give a mouse a cookie, it wants some milk, and then it wants a napkin, et cetera, et cetera. What I told my son when he observed the large ratio of black people without shelter was that most of the business owners in our country are white. White people hire people that look like themselves, So Black people often aren't hired because of the color of their skin or race. If you don't have a job, then you can't make money to pay rent. So if you can't pay rent, you won't have a place to live. Sounds pretty simplified, but it sets a really basic scaffolding for the structural aspect of racism and white privilege. If you have talked about slavery, then use it as a historical reference. Once Black people were freed, they weren't given money to help them make it on their own. It has been a struggle for centuries. The white slave owners were angry they had to pay Black freed people for their work. Things have changed since slavery, but not completely. Black people were never fully given the same opportunities, so they have to work three times harder to keep up. One thing I love about kids is they are constantly curious. Sometimes their curiosity puts them in a situation where they bother or offend someone. For as long as I can remember, children and adults want to touch my kids' hair. As a white person, I can see why this would be fascinating. I'm still in awe of the endless ways Black people style their hair. When you or your child feels the urge to touch a Black person's hair, please take a moment and ask yourself, how would you feel if a stranger came up and asked to touch your hair? It would be kind of weird. When I was in India, people would come right up to my son and touch his hair. This started to creep me out, and my son was getting annoyed. I had to guard him from their advances. In India, it is not inappropriate. Their bodily boundaries are different than in America. When my kids were young, they didn't mind it when their fellow 5 or 6-year-old friends would touch their hair without asking. But after a while, they would swat their friends' hands away and give anyone who asked to touch their hair a stern look and a sharp no. Something I hadn't considered until an African-American friend of mine told me was that African-Americans do not like to have their hair touched, not only because it is offensive. Historically, Black people have had little or no agency over their bodies, especially during slavery. The physical abuse by white people has left Black people fearful and defensive. By protecting themselves, including their hair, it allows them to reclaim agency of their bodies from historical abuse. Talking about history, at this age, most kids are learning in school about Martin Luther King Jr. He used nonviolence to resist segregation and fight for civil rights of all people based on color, race, religion, or national origin. I have found that the celebration of MLK has emphasized peaceful protest, which has overshadowed what he was really fighting for. He fought tirelessly for the abolishment of Jim Crow laws, segregation, and equal rights for everyone. As a parent, you can help your child to understand the importance of why MLK was fighting. If you choose to participate in a peaceful protest, you can reference MLK and that you are also in agreement with him in fighting for the equal treatment of Black people. In school, your children are learning more about American history. We are a country built on racism, so we need to incorporate Black history into conversations with our children. Speaking to your kids about slavery can be daunting, but referencing history can be a great tool. In simple terms, African Americans were brought to this country to help build a new country. Unfortunately, they were brought here against their will, and they were owned by white people, forced to work without being paid, and were treated horribly. This is called slavery. There are beautifully poignant books, videos, and movies that weave the stories of slavery and segregation specifically for children of all ages. I referenced some books in my last podcast for children closer to 6 years old. Here are a few books for children around 9 years old. Many more can be found on socialjusticebooks.org or here, we, spelled W-E-E, read.com. One book is Box, Henry Brown Mails Himself to Freedom by Carol Boston Weatherford and Michelle Wood. It is a book about a man who encloses himself in a box and is transported to freedom. Another book is Only Passing Through, The Story of Sojourner Truth by Anne Rockwell. or The Price of Freedom, How One Town Stood Up to Slavery by Dennis Brindle Fraden, Judith Bloom Fraden, and Eric Velasquez. Shining a light on African Americans and people of color establishes a foundation of positive representation. Black History Month keeps us in the loop about historical figures, but we don't have to stop there. Having books, movies, and articles with historical and contemporary figures can easily be part of a white child's library. There are boundless internet resources on strong examples of African Americans throughout history. Talking about history helps to create a better understanding of the historical relationships between white and black Americans. Now, you can move into talking about how, even though things have changed, there is still oppression of people of color, and it is a work in progress. This can be really difficult to talk about. Black and white parents want to preserve their children's innocence, but black families can't ignore the racism in our country and need to address it in order to save their children's lives. Your children may have seen you react to some of the police killings of black Americans. This is a great opportunity to share your feelings about racism and the injustices black Americans and people of color experience. Your kids are concerned about you, and having honest conversations with your child about your feelings help them to develop empathy and awareness of these injustices. These subjects are sensitive, and if you have laid the groundwork of racism, you can, in an age-appropriate way, tell them you are upset about the killing of a black man by a white police officer, and this happens 3 times more to black men than to white men. Ask them if they heard about the incident. If so, what do they think of it? Kids shine when they get to express their opinion or what they know. Really listen to what they have to say. Please don't be surprised if they didn't hear about it. If your child has access to YouTube or social media, they can be alarmingly knowledgeable, and the knowledge could be misleading. If what they heard is not correct, gently guide them back to the facts and offer an expanded point of view. If they ask, why did this happen? Explain to them how some police are racist and racism can interfere with their judgment. White people have a privileged relationship with the police, so your kids probably admire the police. I don't want my black kids to hate the police, but it is necessary to prepare them for how they will be treated differently by the police and society. I try to find positive situations with police and emphasize that not all police are racist, but they do need to be mindful of their actions as black males. In addition, white children need to know that black people are more at risk when it comes to the police. Ask your child how their friend Tanya would feel if her father was killed because of his skin color. When it becomes personal, they can tap into that sadness they feel for their friend and protect their friends of color and motivate them to be anti-racist and an ally to people of color. Speaking of being an ally, as a white person, we can be allies to our black friends and people of color. If your kids ask, what's an ally? Explain it in an age-appropriate way. For a child, an ally is someone who supports a person, especially when they're being treated unfairly, bullied, or made fun of. This is where the inner superhero comes in handy. If your child sees a friend of color being treated this way, have your child tell an adult, or tell the racist bully they're being racist. This can really shock some kids because so many don't know the meaning of the word. If your child feels safe, have them take their friend by the hand and guide them to a safe place or to an adult. As an ally, you are working towards being an anti-racist, which reduces the harmful consequences of racism. As a parent, patterning being an ally teaches a child how to be an ally. A few ways you can show your child you're being an ally is to show them you are listening to podcasts about anti-racism, reading about how to be an anti-racist ally, or even going to a peaceful protest. You can support black businesses, research propositions that are on election ballots. Ask yourself, who is financially backing it? Who does it benefit? Who does it harm? Connect with your school to create a race, equity, and inclusion committee. Talk to your church or community organization about bringing in speakers to talk about being an anti-racist. Reach across your comfort level and talk with people of color. If you think you have said the wrong thing, acknowledge it and apologize. We are all learning, so we will make mistakes along the way. You can encourage your child and educate yourself at the same time by reading about white allies throughout history. Maybe you even know one in your community. One of the earliest white allies was Tom Watson. He was a leader in the People's Party, which called on blacks and whites to unite against rich bankers and landowners. Here are a few more. Virginia Foster Dyer, 1903 to 1999, was a housewife and political activist from Birmingham, Alabama, who fought against the poll tax and Southern white male domination. J. Waddy's Waring, 1880 to 1968, was a federal judge from Charleston, South Carolina, who opened white primaries to black voters. There are so many great resources out there for learning to be an anti-racist and helping your kid become their own anti-racist superhero. A great resource is the Zen Education Project, which promotes and supports the teaching of people's history in classrooms across the country. I want to thank you for joining me today, and I'm requesting you do one thing to enrich your knowledge of racism, white privilege, African American history for yourself or for your child. I have a list of resources on the show notes. My next podcast will be on talking with tweens and teens. Until then, sow the soil of your anti-racist soul.